You're listening to Confidently She, a lifestyle and mindset podcast for women of faith, hosted by copywriter and body confidence coach, Rebecca Biggie. Get ready to question the beliefs that are making you question your self-worth and become Confidently She. I'm really excited that you are listening to this right now. I think that it's really cool that you're taking time out of your day to practice your confidence and really get your identity in, first and foremost, what God says of you. Because there are so many things pulling at our attention in our life, so many voices trying to tell us who we are or who we should be. And sometimes those voices are even coming from inside our own head. It's not just other people. It's not just Instagram. It's not just, you know, just social pressure. It's like it's coming from within us too. Like, we have this constant nagging feeling of like, we're not enough and who we are needs to change, or it needs to be better, or it could always be improved. And this constant striving for perfection or just for improvement is actually something that hurts your confidence. It hurt my confidence for a long time. I always felt like I could always be better. Like, I could always improve. And to a certain extent, like, that's a good quality to have. Like, you want to not be complacent with who you are, and you want to continue to let God mold you into the person that he wants you to be so that he can use you for whatever purpose he has designed. But this constant feeling of striving and working and trying to earn this feeling of worthiness, that's when it's this is how I become worthy, that's when it becomes a mask for your insecurities, in a way that you're trying to control your value and your worth. So what this episode is going to be about is figuring out the difference between, and here I wrote this down because I was praying about it. I was like, what do you want me to tell her today, Lord? Like, what does she need to hear? And what really came out of that was, she does not need to pursue, for she herself is the subject of my desire. Striving towards worthiness leads you away from God's intent for your heart's fulfillment. Let's unpack that a little bit, because these were just like words that I felt God put on my heart, and now I want to reflect on them with you. So let's start with this. She does not need to pursue, for she herself is the subject of my desire. I have been reading the book Captivating by John and Stacy Eldridge. I can't believe I remembered that. Thank you, Lord. The book is not next to me, and I'm really bad at remembering things like that. So that was God speaking through me. John and Stacy Eldridge. And it's like such a common book. Like, I heard about this so many times. Like, my mom recommended that I should read it. And that they're the same people who wrote Wild at Heart, which is like the men's version of Captivating. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, probably should read it, but I don't know. Well, I started reading it this week, and oh my gosh, I was telling a friend of mine, it feels like every time I read it, I am having this like open heart surgery of piercing to the core of desires that I have as a woman, and this feeling of like not fully being understood and being too much for people, but at the same time being not enough. And I have cried while reading this book. I have put it down and walked away because of how many times it has just pierced straight through to this fear that I have about wanting and desiring this level of love and pursuit and wanting to be known that's just never going to be met. That's the fear. And what we do in that scenario, oh my goodness, situation slash scenario, what we do is we take that fear and that desire, and we either control it and try to force having that, or we give up on it entirely and we tell ourselves we don't want it. And if you remember a few episodes back, the five things confident women never do, they never convince themselves they don't want something they feel like they can't get. Confident women don't do that. Confident women know that it is worth trusting, that they can trust that these desires they have can be met. But here's the thing, they can't be met by external things. They can't be met by, you know, the perfect relationship or the perfect body or the perfect job or the perfect family or the perfect house or the perfect car. Like, all of those idols can satisfy for a little bit, but it will not satisfy in the way that you want it to, in that deep, deep level of being known and being loved and being pursued. That only comes from God. So you can kind of try to control it by striving to continually be more, to work harder, to improve, to have a better body, to be healthier, you know, and you can call it whatever you want. But if you're constantly exercising and worrying about what you're eating and trying to control the way you look, that's an idol. You are making your body an idol. If it is so important to you that your identity is wrapped up in the fact that you are thin or you are fit, or the more fit you become, the more valuable you are, I am sorry, my friend, that is an idol. You are chasing this idea of perfection. And you know what? I can call you out on that because I lived that and I know what that feels like. And what I don't want to have happen is you get to the point where I got, where I was like, wow, this is so empty. Like, even when I look exactly how I want to, even when my body is like at its ultimate performance, like after I ran my marathon, I was like, this is probably the most fit I've ever been. And I still didn't feel like super confident in myself because I was still placing my identity in an external factor, in a body. Your identity is not your body. So that's what I don't want to have happen for you if you are trying to control how you look, because then you can control your value. If I look good, then I am worthy. If I look bad, then I am unworthy. That is a lie. That is a lie from the enemy. And he loves to tell us this. He loves that marketing tells us this. He loves those advertisements that shows you and tells you, like, the more fit you are, the healthier you eat, the happier you will be. He loves that because that's like his perfect lie. Because it makes sense. It's like, oh, if I'm healthier, then yeah, I'll be happier and more fulfilled because, you know, I'll physically feel good. And it's like, well, you can physically feel good, but if you don't mentally feel good and emotionally feel good and spiritually have that foundation, it's going to be unfulfilling. And Satan knows that, and he wants you to believe that it will fulfill you, and that if it doesn't, there's something wrong with you. That's his favorite thing in the world, I think. I really do. And in this book, too, it talks about how women specifically are targeted by the enemy because Lucifer was a beautiful angel. And I didn't read this specifically, like, from the Bible where it talks about it. I think it's in Ezekiel. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. You can Google it. Talks about Lucifer and how he was beautiful and how he wanted to have the worship and praise that God had because he felt like he deserved it because he was so beautiful. And so for God to create Eve, which was the holy divine feminine qualities of God, because God created man in his own image, male and female, he created them. So like women are created in God's image as well. We represent the beauty of God. And Satan is jealous. Because he wants to be as beautiful as God, and we are. I mean, not as beautiful, like we're the human, okay, you know, you get that, right? Human version. I'm never saying that we are God, but he is jealous. He's threatened by the potential we have to be so relational and so beautiful that people notice us and they are drawn to the Holy Spirit within us and they ask, what does she have that I don't? I want that. And the thing that we have is the Holy Spirit living in us. We have an immense power to bring people to know God because of our beauty. And it's not physical beauty. I'm not talking about physical beauty. I'm talking about this presence, this confidence and rest that you can have when you stop trying to control the way that you look. When you're trying to control things, that is not like the feminine energy of beauty, right? Beauty is not controlled. Beauty is natural, right? Like, look out in nature. It's a natural thing. It's not forced. It's not controlled. And it is beautiful. It's not perfect. And it is beautiful. And we are the same way as women. And so you can fall into this trap of trying to control everything. And that is this part where I wrote, you know, she does not need to pursue. You do not need to pursue perfection. You do not need to pursue constant improvement, always getting more done, being more efficient. Like, you don't need to pursue this feeling of worthiness and value because you already have God's heart. Like, God already wants you. She does not need to pursue, for she herself is the subject of my desire. God desires you as you are. And when you submit to that, he starts forming you into more of who you are. Not like a better version of yourself. It's just more of you. And he knows who you are because he made you. Like, this is like building upon the other episodes that I've recorded. Like, you look to your creator to figure out who you are. The person who invented I always use analogies, and I'm going to try to think of a better one than I did before. Something that's confusing if you look at it for the first time and you don't know what it is. Okay, I'll use this as an example. So, have you ever seen a garlic press? Like, the name of it kind of gives it away of, like, what its function is for. But, like, if you looked at it and had absolutely no context, like, you didn't know it was a tool used for the kitchen, you didn't know anything else about it, would you use it to its fullest potential and, like, efficiency? Would you even know that it was supposed to be for the kitchen? Like, maybe, but what would you start using it for? I don't know. Like, but until you realize, like, the purpose of it from the person who invented it and created it and said, no, you put the garlic clove in here and then you just, like, press it out, press it through, and then it, like, minces garlic in 2 seconds. And you don't have to spend time chopping all this stuff up. That's kind of like what we are. Like, it's like looking at a tool for the first time and trying to figure out what to do with it without asking the person who invented it. We are complex. We are a lot more complex than a garlic press, okay? I hope, right? Like, especially women, like, our hearts are so complex and we are so just deep, and we are meant to be captivating, and we are afraid to allow people to get to know us and to go deep into these questions of our heart because we're afraid that we are going to be too much and we're not going to be worth the effort to figure it out. That's what we're afraid of. We're afraid that we're going to be too much and not enough. We tell ourselves, if I wasn't so complicated, if I wasn't so complex, if I didn't want so many different things, then my life would be easier, things would be better. No. If you stop looking outward to satisfy the things that you want, if you stop looking to men to give you your approval, if you stop looking to your income to give you your worth, if you stop looking to how good of a mother you are, how good of a friend you are, how good your body is, if you stop looking to those things, you will find in God the answers to this question of, am I enough? Am I beautiful? Am I worth knowing? God wants to know you. So the one part of it is the control. And the other part, well, okay, before I get to that, I'm going to read this next thing. So striving towards worthiness leads you away from God's intent for your heart's fulfillment. So God created us to long for him. Okay? He lets us figure it out on our own. He lets us figure out that he's what we're looking for, but he doesn't force it. But it's still there. And now, I mean, I don't want to just read like my own words that I felt God was speaking to me. I'll read the actual Bible here because I feel like that's probably important. So this is in Hosea, which I have never probably even read a word of Hosea. It's pretty great. So this is Hosea 2:6. And it says, therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. She has, okay, I'm going to skip over this weird part about like grain and olive oil. Okay, to verse 14. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. Verse 19, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. So, what is this? It's saying she's going to be looking for stuff. She's going to be looking for other ways to fulfill this heart's desire that I placed in her. And, you know, I'm going to show her that those aren't the right things. I'm going to make it hard. I'm going to block her path. I'm going to take things away from her. I'm going to make her realize how good she had it with me, or how good she can have it. I'm going to make her realize that I am the best option for her. And then she will come running back to me. And then I will be nice to her. I will love her. I will allure her and speak tenderly to her. Like, this is what the God of the universe is promising to us. So, like, striving towards worthiness, that's that woman going out and getting blocked off by the bushes and taking things away, right? Striving towards worthiness, it leads you away from God because you're focusing on these other things. You're focusing on your career. You're focusing on your relationship. You're focusing on your kids. You're focusing on your friendships. You're focusing on your body, your health. You're striving. You're trying to control it. You're trying to control your worthiness and your value. And the thing is, you don't have to. It is wasted effort. Now, do you want to be a good friend? Yeah. Do you want to be a good wife, girlfriend? Do you want to love people well? Of course. But when it comes from a place of controlling your worth, like, I have to do this because when I don't, I am not worthy. I have no value to people if I am not being good. That's a lie. You do have value. So striving towards worthiness leads you away from God's intent for your heart's fulfillment. God intends for your heart to be fulfilled through him, not through the love of a man, not through the fulfillment of a career, not through being a good mom. First and foremost, our hearts are wired to be fulfilled through God's love. And then everything else is like an addition to that. Everything else is another way to experience God's love. So that's the control aspect of it. Like if you are trying to control your value and your self-worth, that's what it's going to feel like. But the other part of it is where we just decide to resign from even wanting the things that our hearts desire. We convince ourselves that it's safer to close that off and to not want it. And that is equally as destructive because you just get hopeless. Instead of feeling openly hurt, you're just numb. You become numb to it. And I've been on both sides of this. And I've been in both of, like, together. Like, it's so terrible. Like, you can feel both at the same time, even. You can feel numb to even trying. And you can feel like you're so tired of working for it. It's one and the other. And when you're feeling both, that's when Satan really just has you in his clutches. And he's threatened by who God made you to be. He doesn't want you to realize your true potential. He doesn't want you to trust God. He wants you to think that you have to earn it. He's tricking you. He's tricking me. And when you're hopeless, and when you just don't even have any fight left in you, I almost feel like that's when he really wins. It's one thing to be like striving and trying and distracted and pursuing these things that you think will satisfy. That's one thing. But when you get to the end and you realize how empty it is, I think he really wins when you're just like, forget this. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to stop even trying to be known and to be loved because apparently there's something wrong with me and I'm not worth it. And no matter how hard I try, nothing's ever good enough. And no matter who I meet or what or who I'm dating or maybe in your marriage right now, like you feel like you're trying to work on your marriage or work on your relationship so that your husband loves you more or you feel more love from and you just give up and you're like, I guess I'm not one of those women who gets to be loved fully. I guess there's something too hard about loving me that makes it not worth it. That resignation into just defeat is heartbreaking to God. It's heartbreaking to me. And it's heartbreaking to God because he's standing there like, I'm right here. I'm literally right here. Like, I'm what you are looking for in here. I highlighted this the other day. Hopefully I can find it. Perfect. Psalm 145:17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries and saves them. That wasn't even the one that I was looking for, but that's also very fitting. let me see if I can find the one. Yeah. Ooh, this is a good one, guys. Just to keep in your pocket. Proverbs 14:10. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. I might get this, like, tattooed on my body, or like make this as the header of my website, or use this as like the tagline of my coaching business and my podcast and everything, because this is the heart of what I am trying to tell you. You know that all this stuff you're trying to do is not working, right? You know that having the body isn't enough. Having the relationship isn't enough. Having the career isn't enough. Like, all these things that you are told that you should have, you know in your heart, the bitterness or the jealousy or the comparison or the icky stuff that you're dealing with, that is just ruining your mood and taking your joy. You gotta fix it at a heart level. It's a heart thing. It is a heart thing. It is not a thigh thing. It is not a stomach thing. It is not an arm thing. You don't need to fix your body. You need to repair your heart. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. Guys, if I could just like spoon out how I feel now versus what I felt years ago, and even, I mean, it's a constant journey. So even months ago, if I could spoon out the joy and give you a taste of the joy and peace and freedom that I have when I fully trust in what God says that I am, this is what I want for everyone, but I can't do that. It literally says it in the Bible that I can't. No one else can share its joy. But I can tell you what I did, and I can show you through God's word, like the promises and the truth that he has, and like give you ways to let him into your heart and let him work through you and get rid of that bitterness and replace it with joy. That's what I do with my coaching. That's what I hope this podcast is doing. I can't share it with you, but You have to make it for yourself. And the world is going to tell you that a perfect body is going to give you that joy, that a better house is going to give you that joy, that an engagement ring is going to give you that joy. Guess what? I had all those things. I had a great engagement ring. I had a house. I have a great body. Let's not lie. Like, I'm just being honest. I have a great body. People tell me that. Okay. Guess what? I still had all of these insecurities. I still struggle with all these things. Like, okay, that was a little sidebar, but like, seriously, guys, this stuff is real. Also, Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Like, you know, because you've felt that, right? Everyone has. Okay, where is this verse that I was trying to find? I found it. Okay. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So when you are crushed in spirit, when you are brokenhearted, like, God is right there. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. When you are feeling defeated, when you're feeling like you just have to give up, like it's not worth it anymore, and you've been trying and you've been striving, and you're just like, I'm done. Apparently I'm not worth it. Apparently this will never work. Like, that is a lie, and that is like when Satan is rejoicing, and he's like, yes, I finally broke her spirit. I finally broke her spirit to a point where she is no longer striving. She has given up. Nice. On to the next one. That's how he feels. And God wants to wake you up from that. God is right there. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He saved me when I was crushed in spirit. I have always felt him when I have been brokenhearted. Even when I wasn't actively like looking for him, I felt that he was there. and that he was guiding me. And it's this balance, confidence and trust is the balance in between control and resignation. Control and striving is on one side. Resignation and just giving up is on the other. And in the middle, in God's grace, in God's love, God's heart is what gives you confidence. Trusting in Him as the first place you seek love and the first place you seek your identity and your value and your worthiness. So I felt like these were the words God needed you to hear today. She does not need to pursue, for she herself is the subject of my desire. Striving towards worthiness leads you away from God's intent for your heart's fulfillment. So ask yourself, are you striving or hiding? Which side are you falling into?